my pastor always used to say, getting up, I'm as nervous as a long-tailed cat in a full room full of rocking chairs. Whew. I thought for a minute there everybody was applauding at me, and I looked down, it was just my knees knocking. Yeah. Before we get started, let's go ahead and ask a word of prayer, please, as we bring forth the message. Let us pray. Father, come before you now. We do ask that you would bless tonight's message. Lord, I ask for a hedge of protection around this time, free of distraction, disturbances, discouragement. Lord, I pray you'd give me clarity of thought. Give me the words to say. Father, I pray if there's anything that I would not say, Lord, that you would, is not your will, that you would keep it from my mouth, Lord, that you keep it from my thoughts. Lord, I pray you would open up the hearts of the hearers today. We ask all these things. In your name I pray. Amen. The purpose of tonight's message is to focus on the ministry that we have here at Kazadia, and that is our school. And tonight we have three types of people in our audience. We have parents, we have teachers, and we have students. And each point tonight is going to hit every one of us. Each point tonight is something that God wants us to have. If you look at Psalm chapter 90, look at verse number 12. It says this, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." Teach us to number our days. This is a psalm of Moses, and this there's been some argument over the years of if this actually is attributed to Moses, you know, it's old, one of the oldest psalms, but whether or not, he here is crying out to God. You go back to verse 1 or verse 2, it says at the end of there, "Thou art God." And tonight, the first thing I want to point out is this. There is a teacher. It is God. It is God. God is our teacher. God is the source of all instruction. God is the source of all wisdom. You see, you find three things. You find knowledge. Knowledge comes from man, from instruction. Then you have understanding. Understanding is receiving that knowledge and being able to apply it. But wisdom only comes from God. Wisdom comes from God. It says, turn your Bibles, if you would, please, to Proverbs chapter 4. Just a few pages over. Proverbs chapter 4. You see, first of all, we have a responsibility to that teacher. We have a responsibility to the master teacher, God. Proverbs chapter number 4. Begin reading in verse number, 5. It says this. "Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory, and she shall deliver to thee." This is talking about wisdom here. Our responsibility, first of all, to our teacher is to get wisdom. He simply says here, get wisdom. It's the principal thing. It's the main thing. God is our teacher. He is the one that's going to give us wisdom in what we should handle in our lives. Parents, how do I raise this child? How do I point this child in the right direction? Ask God for wisdom. Teachers, how do I handle this situation in my classroom? Ask God for wisdom. Students, how do I handle the classroom situation? How do I handle the test? How do I ask God for wisdom? God is the only source of wisdom. Our first responsibility is to get it. Our second part of responsibility is to ask for it. James chapter 1 says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not." You know, growing up, stepdad, his nickname was Moose. 6 foot, I don't know how many pounds. He was in the army, but he loved to play football. And I was scared of Moose. I was scared of him. I never wanted to go to him. If I wanted to go to a friend's house, I never wanted to go ask him. Mom would always say, "Go ask Moose." I never wanted to. Why? Because I was afraid he was going to upbraid me. I was afraid he was going to say, "Boy, why? Why would you want to do that?" But God says, if you lack wisdom, come. Come to me. He won't upbraid you. He will give it to you. So our first thing to our teacher's responsibility. The second thing is this. When we come to our teacher, there's a reward. If you go back to Proverbs chapter 4, it says when you get wisdom, first of all, it'll promote you. It says if we exalt it, Verse number 8, exalt her and she shall promote thee. If you put wisdom in its proper place, you give God his proper place, he will promote you. You see, God uplifts the humble and puts down the pride. And too many times what we have in education, too many times what we have in teachers, what we have in students is this, is we have, they're relying on their own knowledge, their own understanding, and they uplift themselves. Well, look at my degrees on my wall. Look at what I know. What do you know? What does this book say compared to all these books that have been written? They rely on their knowledge, but they don't have wisdom from God. When you go to God and ask him for wisdom, he will promote you. He will humble you. If you humble yourself, he will uplift you. Not only will it promote you, but it's going to protect you. Look at verse number 7. Wisdom is a principal thing, therefore give wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Verse 8, exalt her, and she shall promote thee, and she shall bring thee to honor when thou doth embrace her. Back up. Verse 6. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she will keep thee. Keeping thee. It's going to protect you. Having wisdom, we find in the Proverbs, will keep you from the strange woman. Having wisdom in the Proverbs, we find, will keep you from sin. It will keep you from following other people who are not in the right direction. Fools. It's going to protect you. And not only that, it's going to preserve you. Our teacher says, I have something for you. It's wisdom. And when we go to him and get wisdom, there's a reward. The second point is this. Verse Psalm chapter 90 says, so teach us. The teacher is God. Who's the trainees? That's us. So teach us. Lord, teach us. We see in the Psalms where the psalmist cries out to God, teach me thy ways. Teach me the direction I should go. We are the audience. So let's talk about those three areas. First of all, the parents. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4, please. As parents, what are we asking God to teach us? Deuteronomy chapter 4. Begin reading in verse number 5. It says, behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do so in the land whether you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who have God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? Verse 8. And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments to righteous, so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Here's the key. Look at verse 9. Only take heed to thyself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. The instruction to parents is, first of all, to take heed. Parents, tonight, you've seen God work in your life, no doubt. You've seen God work in your family's life. You've seen God work in this school, in this church, in your personal lives. Don't forget it. And how do you not forget it? You rehearse it to your children. And then they rehearse it to their children. One of the things that I have come to enjoy here at Cazadale is this, is the godly heritage that families have here. Third, fourth, and prayerfully fifth generation Christians of understanding the Bible, being raised in a Christian home and knowing who God is. That only happens when parents stop and take time to rehearse in the minds of their children what God has done. He says, take heed. Don't forget. Parents, teach your children God's word. Keep God's word in front of them. You see, God didn't institute the school. God instituted the family. It's the parents' responsibility to raise the child. It's the parents' responsibility to educate the child. We're here to help. We're a tool. We're a ministry. So that's to the parents. What about the proctors, the teachers? Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, please. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Remember, God's the teacher, We are the trainees. What does God have for me as a teacher? 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse 15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." First of all, teachers, we need to study. We no doubt parents and teachers know of one or two teachers, maybe more, who've made an impact on our life. One of my teachers that I'll never forget is my band teacher. He did so many things in my life to. I went to public school. For those who didn't know, I was not raised in a Christian home. I went to church at the age of five on a bus route, a little van route. Eventually, my parents, my family came to church. They got saved. But I was in public school, graduated from public school. But this man, I don't know if he went to church, but he had principles behind him. He had character. And one of the things he told us freshmen, when we were the last chair in wind ensemble, when we were the last person in the marching line of the trumpets in the brass section, when we're forming figures on the football field for halftime shows, and we're the dot that's way out here that no one ever sees, he told us this. He said, "Boys and girls, remember this thing. When you cease to learn, you'll cease to lead." When you cease to learn, you'll cease to lead. Teachers, too many times, and I'm talking to myself here for a moment, we get stagnant. We think, "Oh, I've taught this before. Oh, I've done this before. I'm familiar with this." And we don't go back and rehearse some things. We don't go back and learn some more things about maybe those subjects that we're teaching and rehearsing to our students. We become stagnant. We won't lead. Study. Here he says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God." You see, as teachers, we're not here to be lauded by the parents. We're not here to be lauded by administration. We're here because we love God. We're here to please God. And as in the classroom, teachers, we ought to do everything to His honor and His glory. Study to show thyself approved unto God. So as proctors, first thing we need to do is study. The second thing we need to do is be secure. And what I mean by that is just study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Don't be ashamed of what you do. I remember when we lived in Maryland, everybody knew when they saw me. They were like, "Oh, that's Mr. Price here at OCS. You know, oh, he's just a teacher." Anybody hear that? You're just a teacher. You know what? I may, in your eyes, just be a teacher, but in the eyes of that child, I'm a mentor. In the eyes of that child, so, you know, depending on the age group, you know, depending what you do, maybe, okay, not to the high schoolers this year, but I'm a superhero. Okay? You are somebody to that child. Don't be ashamed of what you do. Don't be ashamed to stand there and say, to bring out in a math lesson, in a language lesson, how God put that together. Because isn't that why we're here? Everything comes from God. Everything revolves around God. Don't be ashamed of it. Remember the first time I met Miss Sue over at the general store? She said, "What do you do?" I said, "Well, I'm a high school teacher over there at the academy, and I'm the principal." And she goes, "You seem pretty proud of that." I said, "Yes, I am." And not in a prideful way, like, "Look at me, I'm the principal." No, I'm proud to say that I am a teacher at Cazadale Baptist Academy. And when I tell people where I work at, what I do, sometimes it's highlighted Baptist. "Where are you at?" "Cazadale Baptist Academy." Why? I'm proud to be a Baptist. I'm proud to be a Christian. I'm proud to be a teacher. I'm proud to be a member of this church in serving in the ministry of our school. Don't be ashamed, teachers. Parents, don't be ashamed. Who teach? It says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed." And last thing, the solution is this: rightly dividing the word of truth. When you study and you put God first, you will do what's right. You will be able to rightly divide God's word and give it out to your young people so they would understand. So we have, as trainees, parents, your responsibility to keep God's word in front of your children. Teachers, to study. Now let's get to the pupils. Students, what's your responsibility? probably one page over, if not just a paragraph over, 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14. Apostle Paul here writing to Timothy says this, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Students, first of all, continue. Don't quit. Don't give up. Because God isn't done with you yet. You may think this assignment is so hard. God's not done with you yet. Continue. He says, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. Here at CBA, yes, you're getting the core subjects. You're getting math. You're getting science. You're getting speech. You're getting all these other core subjects, but more importantly, you know what? You're getting God's Word. Everything is founded upon the Word of God. And you could be assured of, you can continue in your life knowing that everything we teach here has God at the center. Because the moment that God is not at the center of our ministry, that ministry needs to cease. It is God's Word that is at the center. So students, continue. Students, not only do you continue, but be confident. Be confident, he says here. He says, continue down the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. We just hit on it. If everything we teach is upon God's Word, you know it's true. I'm not going to get ahead of myself because that's the last point. But everything that we teach based upon God's Word is true. Be confident of that. As you graduate, seniors, as you look ahead, be confident that the things you learned in the classroom came from God. Not only should you continue, not only should you be confident, but he says, continue on the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Your coach, keeping with the letter C. Your teachers. Your teachers pray for you. You may not think so. Maybe when your teacher gets up and says, here's the assignment. Oh, that's so long. I have a basketball game tonight. That project. Do we really have, is that, Brother Price, is that necessary? It's economics. Is that a necessary project? Remember, your teachers are doing this for a purpose, for a reason. They're instilling in you. They've prayed for you. They've prayed for the content that they're giving to you. Realize who has taught you. We use a verse in Hebrews that's talking about spiritual leaders. Consider them and whose faith follow. What is your teacher's faith? What have you seen God work in your teacher's life? Do you see your teacher, their testimony? He says here, continue thou. Why did he write that to Timothy? Because if you look at verse 1 there, it says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. And he goes through a list of, talking about the evil days. Right now, our days are evil. And young people, you can be confident, you can be assured of that those teachers standing before you are giving you God's Word so that you can be prepared for the days that are ahead. So we've talked about the teacher, who is God. We talked about the trainees, the parents, the teachers, and the students. Now let's get to the last part, number 3, and that is the topic. Go back to Psalm chapter 90. He says, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. The topic is who God is. Why have a Christian school? So we can teach ABCs, the phonics, and teach algebra? No. To teach who God is. Our days, we talked about, are evil. We're living in perilous times. Look in the newspaper. Look in the magazines. Look at the internet articles. Everything. The lawlessness. The godlessness. Where evil is rewarded and good is looked down upon. This is the reason why we have Christian school. It's the topic of who God is. Number 1, the testimony about God. Look at verses 1 and 2 in Psalm chapter 90. back here. He says, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. The testimony about God, number one, that he is the creator. You step out these doors and you go into Milford, you go into Goshen, and you talk to the average student and ask them about the world, about the tree, about the sun, the moon, the stars. You ask them about the animals, and they won't, many of them probably will not acknowledge God. They won't acknowledge that there's a creator. That's why it's important to have a Christian school ministry. The true God is that he is the creator. John 1:3 says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Number two, who is God? He is the judge. Look at verses 3 through 7 in Psalm chapter 90. He writes here, thou turnest man to destruction, and sayest, return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are as but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep in the morning. They are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth, excuse me, and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. We are consumed by thine anger, and by their wrath are we troubled. God is the judge. But not only is he the judge, here's what I'm thankful for. God is merciful. Look at verse 14. O satisfy us early with thy mercy. Yes, God is the judge, and God will judge evil, and he will judge sin, he will judge the world, but he is merciful. And we need to be the lighthouse, we need to be lights, we need to be salt of the earth for those people out there. To know, tell them who God is. Yes, he's the creator, he's the judge, but he's merciful. Psalm 136, one of my favorite psalms, what does every verse end with? For his mercy endureth forever. The good things, for his mercy endureth forever. The bad things, for his mercy endureth forever. Aren't you glad tonight that God's mercy endures forever? That's why we have a Christian school. To teach them who God is, he's merciful. Not only do we have to teach them that who God is, the testimony of God, but teach them that truth comes from God. Truth comes from God. Probably more accurate to say that God is truth. Truth today in our society is blurred. No more is it black and it's white. It's this is right and this is wrong. It's, well, what about this? You know, there's a little gray area here. Thus saith the Lord. What does God's word say? What do we strive to do here at CBA? We strive to teach our students that the truth is from the Word of God. The truth comes from God. First of all, truth comes from God through His Son, Jesus Christ. John 14:6, Jesus still proclaims, He says, I am the way, and what's the next words? The truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The world out there needs to know that there is no other way to heaven. There's no other way to the Father except through Jesus Christ. We need to teach our students and to always keep it before them the truth of Jesus Christ. And not only the truth of Jesus Christ, but the truth of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17. The Spirit of truth brings comfort. Jesus is about to go away. He tells his disciples. What does verse 1 in chapter 14 say? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And then down the chapter there in verses 16 and 17, he promises him that when I go away, I will not leave you comfortless. The truth is this, the Holy Spirit is here to comfort us. The Holy Spirit is here to guide us in truth. The world needs to know that, but it starts with us telling our students. The truth that, number one, Jesus Christ, the truth of the Holy Spirit, but also that God's word is true. We find in John chapter 17, Jesus is praying, and he asks the Father, he says, sanctify them through truth. What's the next phrase? Thy word is truth. This book here, I always make it happen in junior church, especially with new children that come, to let them know, when Brother Price opens up this book and I read from this book, it's true. It's true. If it says in Numbers that the donkey talked, it's true. If it says that Peter got out of the boat and walked, it's true. But he also says what they just quoted in John 3. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. The world doesn't want to hear that. But we need to instill in our young people the truth about Jesus Christ, the truth about the Holy Spirit, the truth about God's Word. So what's the topic? Who God is. He is the Creator. He's the Judge. He is merciful. What's the topic? That truth is God. We have the Word of God, the Son of God, the Spirit of God. But lastly, what's the topic? Time is valuable to God. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16 says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. We don't know how much time we have on this earth. We're not guaranteed the next breath. We're not guaranteed the next minute. Time is valuable. There are souls out there who need to hear who God is. Time is valuable, and when we waste that time, and I'm speaking to myself, when we sit there and spend 10, 15 minutes looking on the phone or the computer at Facebook or looking at other things and not spending time in God's Word, not spending time going out, we're wasting the asset that God has given us called time. Proverbs 27:1 says this, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. I'm going to tell on myself. I'm a procrastinator. I'm the king of procrastinators. You can ask my wife. You can ask my former pastor in Maryland. One thing that drove him nuts, and I probably did it here, and I just don't, I know I've done it here. I perform best, and I guess it's just the way that I've done it all through my life, even in college. I perform my best when my back's against the wall because I've put off. That's not God's perfect plan. He says here, boast not in thyself of tomorrow. I'm the king of tomorrow. I told my wife that yesterday. There's something I need to get done. I said, you know what? We have tomorrow. Let's do it. And she said, no. Let's get it done now. Yes, ma'am. The point is this. There's nothing wrong with planning. There's nothing wrong with thinking ahead. But when we allow that to drive our lives and thinking, oh, we could do it tomorrow. We could do it later. God says, don't boast yourself of that. You don't know what a day is going to bring forth. James chapter 4 says, what is your life but is a vapor? Appears for a moment, then vanishes away. He exhorts there in his epistle, he exhorts the audience, he says, say to those who say, well, we're going to do this, we're going to do this. He said, it ought to be if God's will. There's nothing wrong with planning. There's nothing wrong with having an itinerary. But we ought to be, Lord, if it's thy will, let's do this. Because when we do that, we're realizing the value of time that God has given us. Moses wrote in Psalm chapter 90, verse 12, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. We need to first of all realize there's a teacher, and it's God. He's the master teacher. We have a responsibility to give wisdom. We need to realize then, not only is there a teacher, there's trainees. There's the parents. Put God's word before your children. There's the teachers, the proctors, as I put it in the message. We need to study. You study God's word. And the pupils, you need to continue in what you have learned. But the most important thing is the topic. When God teaches us, we then relay out and teach to others who God is. He's merciful. He's the Creator. He's truth. Because of His Son, Jesus Christ, because of the Holy Spirit, because of the Word of God. But lastly, the topic of time. It's valuable. Why do we have a Christian school? Because God is our teacher, and we have a message to give out. What are we doing with that message?